السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن لله خلقا خلقهم لحوائج الناس، يفزع الناس إليهم في حوائجهم، أولئك الآمنون من عذاب الله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, the verse which I recited in my introduction is one of the more famous verses of the Quran. Allah mentions, Kuntum khayra ummah. You are the best of nations. Many times we would have heard the title, Khayrul Umam. You are the best of ummats, the best of nations. We know that. And as Muslims, we take pride in that. That Allah has selected me and Allah has chosen you. Because in the system of Allah, there is no coincidence. It is not by coincidence that we are part of this ummah. It is by the decision, the decree and the choice of Allah. So the fact that you and I are from Khairul Umam, that we are from the best of nations, that is by the decision of Allah. So we take pride in the fact that Allah has blessed us and He has made us from Khairul Umam. But taking pride is one thing. And it is another thing altogether for us to actually apply our minds and ask ourselves the question that why is this ummah known as Khairul Umam? Why is this nation the best of nations? And there are a few answers to that. But what is the answer which is given in this very verse after Allah mentions to us that you are the best of nations? Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Allah says, you have been taken out to be of service to humanity. You have been taken out to be of service to mankind. And if you continue to serve humanity, if you continue to serve mankind, then you continue to enjoy the right to proclaim that you are Khairul Umam and that you are the best of nations. In other words, the best of nations, this nation, Khairul Umam, is expected to be service-minded, community-orientated, to worry not about themselves only, to live not individualistic, selfish kind of lifestyles. No, you need to be worried and you need to be focused about the broader concerns of humanity, the affairs of the community as a whole, the broader welfare of society, ought to be close to your heart. That is the hallmark of this ummah. Ukhrijat linnas. We have not created you, Allah says, so that you can come and live for yourself and live for your immediate family and live for your own ambitions and your own goals and the fulfillment of your own desires in life. If you have become such a selfish person, such an individualistic person, where you only live for yourself or you only live for your individual or for your immediate family, then it means you have become immune and it means you have become insensitive to the needs of the people around you, the broader community, the ummah, humanity at large. And if that has become the reality, then you cannot call yourself the perfect Islamic nation or the perfect Islamic community or society. Because even though you may achieve and excel on different fronts, different aspects of deen, you may be doing very well. But until and unless you do not become service-minded, until and unless you do not have the welfare of others at heart, you are not a complete Muslim community. Ukhrijat linnas. You have been taken out to be of service to humanity. That's the speciality of this ummah, the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a verse in Surah Anbiya. It's a famous verse of the Quran. Let me give you a bit of context. It's very important, the context. In Surah Anbiya, Allah talks about the various Anbiya, the various prophets. And that's why it's called Surah Anbiya. And Allah talks about the various prophets in great detail. But when he comes to the last prophet, the final prophet and the greatest prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah just makes one statement. One statement. And that statement is sufficient to tell us about the profile of the Imam and the leader of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And what is that statement? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you as a mercy unto mankind. Now you and I, we claim to love رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We take honor in the fact that we are from the Ummah of رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We wear that badge with honor, and so we should. But what does it mean to be رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ? It means that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a means of mercy reaching everyone. Now I ask you, and we need to ask ourselves, are we living our lives in a way where we become a medium and a means for others to receive mercy, to receive help, to receive assistance, or are we living only for ourselves? That has become the nature of this modern life. We have made progress on so many fronts, technologically and, you know, mechanically and every way, in every other way. We have made advancement. But from a humanistic perspective, we have become very reclusive, very selfish, very self-centered, very focused on our own goals, our own objectives, our own desires, what we need to achieve in life, and we forget what's happening around us. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. But that is not the legacy of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is not the speciality of the ummah and the followers of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In simple words, what I'm saying, there is a strong link between iman, between having faith and having an active social conscience. We need to have an active social conscience. You need to know what's happening around you, and you need to play a part in making your surroundings a bit of a better place for everyone, not only for yourself. Many times people would argue, but you know what? I live my life in a way where I don't harm anyone. I mind my own business. I go to work, I go to my home, and I go to the masjid, and that's it. And people make that statement with a great degree of pride. And I can understand where they're coming from, because it's a great achievement to live your life in such a way that you don't inconvenience anyone, or you don't cause harm to anyone, or you don't become an obstacle in anyone's path. But that's only half of what's expected of you as a Muslim. I'm not saying that. Our Nabi has said that. Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said, a believer is a brother unto a believer. La yadlimuhu. He doesn't oppress him, he doesn't inconvenience him, he doesn't harm him, he doesn't become an obstacle in his way. Wala yuslimuhu. But he also doesn't leave him in the lurch when he requires assistance. So not harming anybody is half of what is expected of you as a Muslim. But being there when they need your shoulder to lean on is the other half of what is expected of you as a Muslim. So when you judge yourself, don't only judge yourself in terms of how much I don't interfere in other people's lives and I don't create complications. Ask yourself, to what extent am I a shoulder to lean on? You see, what we need to understand if we study history, and even Islamic history, we always talk about the youth and we talk about the generation to come. But the problems of the generation to come stem from the fact that we are only obsessed with our own current material goals and objectives, our own desires, and we are not service-minded, we are not community-orientated, and therefore we are not passing on to the next generation what they require to prosper. One of the greatest problems that the world faces right now is that the current generation is motivated by selfishness and pursuing only its own interests and not worrying about the generations to come. And that is alien in Islam. You know, I once met a non-Muslim professor in South Africa from where I come, and he told me that he did a study on family businesses. And family businesses prosper in the first generation, second generation, and by the third generation it crumbles and collapses. Why? Because the first generation puts more effort into the business, expecting not profits for itself but for the generation to come. In other words, the father works hard for his son to enjoy. And that son saw the father do it, so he works hard for his son to enjoy. But by the time his grandson takes over the business, that legacy is forgotten. So he works only for himself. And after his generation, the business generally as is the trend collapses. And that has become a worldwide phenomenon, that when you work only for yourself, you will have no legacy. You think that the money and the home and the assets and the investments that you leave, but if you haven't really worked for the community around you, then how will your progeny exist? Within which context? How will they be able to enjoy all of that which you have amassed for them? That's why, one day Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said to Allah, that, "Oh Allah, tell me, from your entire creation, who is the most beloved to you?" Allah said, "That person who becomes saddened when the next man is saddened. If he's sad, you sad. If he's happy, you happy. That man who takes the problem of his brother and makes it his own problem." Today it's become a chic, it's become a hip thing to say, "Don't make your problem my problem." Allah says, "The greatest man in my sight is the man who takes that man's problem and makes it his own problem, because that's my brother." One day Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Khalifatul Muslimin, Amirul Mu'mineen, he stands on the minbar and he tells the Sahaba that, "You know what? You people pay zakat on your wealth, but there's a zakat on your body." And they were like, "Whoa, where did this come from? Zakat on the body? What is the zakat of the body?" He said, "The zakat of the body is you take the next man's difficulty and you make it your own difficulty. You take the next man's difficulty and you make it your own difficulty. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا." That was a hallmark of Sahaba. They would put themselves through difficulty to cause some ease to the next man. Multiple Sahaba lying wounded on the battlefield. Each one is offered that sip of water in the final moments of life. Even in those final moments of life, they are not selfish, they are selfless. They say, "Take that water and pass it to my brother." We know it's a famous story. Each one of them passed on without taking a sip of that water. There was a great saint, Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullah alayhi, and this is mentioned in authentic sources. So he's a great sheikh, he's a great saint, and he's moving with his own entourage of students. And they're traveling in the desert, and it's cold, it's bitterly cold. So they're looking for some refuge, and they find a dilapidated building. And they get into the building, but because the building, the door had been removed, it wasn't totally to what they required, because the wind was still blowing through the doorway. And they're trying to get sleep, but it's still cold. Eventually, they fell off to sleep. When the students woke up in the morning, they say, "But it became quite warm in here. What has happened?" And when they looked in the doorway, the sheikh, the ustad, the whole night he stood in the doorway blocking the wind. He took their difficulty, put it upon himself, so they could have some convenience and they could enjoy sleep. That's what you call a leader. A leader is not only a man who can sign a check. Obviously, financially, to assist the next person is imperative. But that's only one part of living to serve humanity. Our motto in life as Muslims is to live to serve the creation of Allah. Firstly, your immediate community, al-aqrab fal-aqrab. And then the broader ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and beyond that, humanity at large. Because the entire creation are the servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Even those who do not believe in Allah, they are still the creation of Allah. Let me share with you one hadith mentioned by Mundiri rahimahullah in his targhib. He says, "Inna lillahi khalqan khalaqahum li hawa'ijin nas." Sometimes you and I, brothers, we may be helping, but we feel, "Hey, why they come always to me? They only know my door." But listen to this hadith. It is mentioned in this hadith that Allah has created certain people in His creation like magnets. People are attracted to them to go and ask for help. But you are not of benefit to them really. In reality, they are of benefit to you. Why? Because Allah is sending them to you and using you as a conduit to help them. And in the process, أُولَٰئِكَ الْآمِنُونَ مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ. As a reward, Allah is giving you a guarantee of protection from His punishment. So when they knock on your door, you're not doing them a favor, they're doing you a favor. Whether it's the charity that you give, or whether it's your time, the most valuable thing to give is time. How many brothers will say, "You know what, take my donation, but time is another matter. Even my wife is fighting for her share." Whether it's money, whether it's time, whether it's experience, whether it's expertise, or whether it's physical assistance, we need to live to serve humanity. And if you cannot do any of those things, then at least bring a smile to the next man's face. مَا أَدْخَلَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Narration of Tabrani. If you bring happiness to a particular Muslim home, sometimes, you know, the man is having such a difficult day. He just needs somebody to meet him and greet him with a smile and to give him a pat on the back. What is the reward for that? لَمْ يَرْضَ اللَّهُ لَهُ ثَوَابًا دُونَ الْجَنَّةِ Narration of Tabarani, if you bring happiness to a Muslim home, in whichever way that happiness may be, Allah will see reward for you, nothing less than Jannah. Nothing less than Jannah. Ibn Hajar has mentioned a story of Nuh alayhi salam. Listen to the story. Every Muslim, young or old, black or white, Arab, non-Arab, male, female, pious or not so very pious, each one of us, we desire to become the beloved of Allah. That's the ultimate. That's the zenith and the apex. Jannah is a side advantage. If you become the beloved of Allah, you are set in this world and you are set in the after. But there are multiple ways of reaching Allah and becoming the beloved of Allah. What is one of the most effective ways? Listen to the story Ibn Hajar mentions of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. We know that Nuh alayhi salam preached to his people for 950 years. And hardly anybody listened. So after 950 years, he lifts his hands and he supplicates to Allah and he says, لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرْهُمْ يُضِلُّ عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُ إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا Allah, I've tried for 950 years. My conclusion now is, if you don't destroy them, they will perpetuate the shirk. And we know, Allah destroyed them. The deluge and the floods of Nuh alayhi salam is an interesting story. But Allah wanted to teach Nuh alayhi salam a lesson, and for us a lesson until the day of Qiyamah. So Allah gave Nuh alayhi salam an instruction, and He said, Oh Nuh, I want you to make pots of clay. Simple, just make pots of clay. So Nuh alayhi salam, it's the instruction of Allah, no questions asked. He starts making clay pots. And he made quite a few. And then Allah says, okay, now Nuh, I want you to break them. Break them yourself. So Nuh alayhi salam takes the first one, he throws it, it breaks. Takes the second one, he breaks it. By the time he comes to the third one, he's crying. So revelation comes from the heavens. Allah says, Nuh, why are you crying? It's a pot of clay. He says, oh Allah, I understand it's a pot of clay, but I made it with my own hands. So Allah responded and said, Nuh, you asked me to destroy those people. Yes, they were associating partners with me. Yes, they were rejecting my Nabi. But did it not occur to you that I created them? And you asking me to destroy them? And that's where the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in. Al-khalqu iyalullah. Al-khalqu iyalullah. That the creation is the family of Allah. In reality, Allah has no family. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. What is meant is that like your family are the closest to you, there are some from the creation who are the closest to Allah, the beloved of Allah. Who are they? Man ahsana ila iyali. Those who are good to the rest of Allah's creation. In simple words, if you want to become the beloved of Allah, then live to serve the creation of Allah. If you want to become the beloved of Allah, live to serve the creation of Allah. The I must die and the we must live. Mustn't be about yourself. There is no achievement and no greatness if only you can achieve for yourself. And actually, this will be my talk tomorrow night in Karabi after Isha on the topic of happiness. But I'll just share this point with you. Research has shown that people who live for themselves, no matter what they achieve, they are not truly happy. And people who live to make others happy, they enjoy true happiness. When you buy your own car for the first time, you're happy. But when you buy your son the car for the first time, and that's not a smile on your face, it's a smile on your heart. When you see that you've brought a smile to somebody else's face, that elation and that happiness and that joy is indescribable. It's a fact of life, it's the system of Allah. If you live to serve others, if you live to serve humanity, then you will enjoy a happy, a joyful, a wholesome, a prosperous life. Otherwise, it's all about yourself. And how much can you achieve? How much can you earn? How much can you eat? I'll mention one hadith from Darqutni and then one incident and I'll terminate. This hadith is so beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-mu'minu ya'laf wa yu'laf. A believer, he loves and he's loved. But people will only love you if you have care for them, if you have concern for them. That's why you see people who are community orientated, people who live to serve others, everyone loves them. Yes, you may say, but a wealthy person, everyone loves him. No, everyone doesn't love him. They pretend to love him. An influential person, everybody doesn't love him. They pretend to love him. Why? مَخَافَةَ الشَّرِّهِ If they don't pretend to love him, they may suffer the consequences. Or why? Because they have their own selfish motives. I need to pretend to be close to this person because I may need him. But a man who's there to serve others, people genuinely love him. The du'as that come from their lips are actually embedded in their hearts. And those du'as go straight up to the arsh at the throne of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ says that like in everything else, you have a benchmark. Here's a benchmark by which you can live your life. And I speak to myself firstly. Here's a benchmark by which we can live our lives. Each one of us take a decision now that I want to become like this. I want to become this type of a Muslim, this type of ummati. Al-mu'minu ya'laf wa yu'laf. A believer loves. And when he loves, he cares about others. Wa yu'laf. And as a result, others love him. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَا يَأْلَفْ وَلَا يُؤْلَفْ. The Nabi of Allah says, if you don't love others, and others don't love you, there's no goodness in you. And then here's the golden phrase, وَخَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of people are those who are of the most benefit to people. That should be our motto in life. You want to be the best? Then be the best as per the definition of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what's his definition of the best of the best? وَخَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of people are those who are of the most benefit to the community, to the ummah, to humanity. I'll leave you with this incident. Again, it's Ibrahim bin Adham. You know, these personalities, they had a lot of wisdom. So one day he met his good friend Shaqiq Balkhi. And Shaqiq Balkhi was a zahid, as they say. He had totally left the dunya. He used to only occupy himself in ibadah. He never used to earn a living, he didn't have a family, nothing. So Ibrahim bin Adham asked Shaqiq Balkhi that for you to live this kind of a life, the life of an ascetic, something must have taken place. There must have been an incident in your life which propelled you in this direction. He said, yes. He said, one day I saw a bird that was crippled and blind. Double handicap. Crippled and blind. And I looked at that bird and I thought, wow, this bird is going to die. Because where is it going to get food? It can't fly, it can't move, it can't see. He said, as this thought was still in my mind, I saw another healthy bird come with a worm in its beak and put it into the beak of the bird that was crippled and blind. And at that time, the thought struck me and I said, oh Allah, if you are taking care of the sustenance of a bird, and I am a human, ashraful makhluqat, and then I am a Muslim, and then I am from the ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you take care of the sustenance of the bird, why won't you take care of my sustenance? I'm going to dedicate myself totally to ibadah and worship. Noble. But look at Ibrahim bin Adham's understanding. Ibrahim bin Adham told Shaqiq Balkhi, my friend, you looked at the crippled blind bird and you took a lesson, and you took a good lesson. But why didn't you look at the healthy bird and take a greater lesson and dedicate your life to assisting those people that you could assist and who needed your help? That would have been a better lesson. خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of people are those who live to serve humanity. May Allah make me from amongst them. May Allah make us all from amongst them. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.